You're about S8 in the mountains of western Pennsylvania. I'm understanding your words, although you're not real strong. Over. Well, I just hooked up this amplifier and a recording setup for a net we operate. Some friends of mine and I operate on around this frequency on Saturday and Wednesday nights. But I'm getting some RF in my audio, so if you hear a little RF creeping in there, please forgive me. It's been very frustrating. I've spent many hours and I still have not 100% conquered the RF demon. So, well, I guess that's what ham radio is all about, is challenges, Barry. So, Greer, South Carolina. Well, that's a pretty fair haul. I'm running about 800 watts to 4572Bs. Dentron Clippertonel amplifier, and I have a few problems with the amplifier too. This is really the first time I've had it on the air, and I can see there's a problem in the bias circuit. So things are sort of lashed up in a semi-temporary way here, but I'm glad you're hearing me okay. KK4 RXN WB4AIO. Well, your signal strength is not real high. There are some static crashes that are taking you out, Barry, on some words. For the most part, I'm understanding what you're saying, though. The 820, that's a venerable rig. This is an SDR 1000, which I guess for a software-defined radio is also a venerable rig. You might call it an antique software-defined radio, because it's getting close to a decade old. So, anyway, I have a lot of problems here at AIO Laboratories that I need to solve, and it's so late, I don't think I'm going to solve any of them. Probably I'll just talk to Marty when he comes back for a few minutes and then collapse. But real good hooking up with you, and outside of the signal strength being a little bit low, your 820 sounds fine. It sounds clean, it sounds clear, and no problems at all. So let's see if Marty's back. N2IRJ with KK4RXN WB4AIO.
KK4RXN and WB4AIO. Yes, I'm back. And report to West Virginia is up here in central New Jersey, Jackson, New Jersey, about 15 miles from the Atlantic Ocean. I'm hearing you, but I'm having difficulty. I don't have as good of a copy as Kevin does. I was going to switch to another antenna, a vertical antenna. I'm using a beverage right now, which theoretically should be picking you up better, but you never know the way band conditions are. I'll return it momentarily to Kevin, and I'm experimenting myself too. I know that I have more bugs worked out of my system than you have on yours, since this is your first time trying it, literally by minutes. I'm running the modulation a little hotter on the Duro to make it happy, as we talked about. So this should sound a little bit different than maybe on some past Liberty Nets, just in case. You know, you want to pay attention to that and make comment. So, incidentally, down in West Virginia there, that's where my heart is. That's where I met my wife and went to school and lived a lot of years. And we still have family living down there. So, anyway, you're a good guy. You're So my wife calls it the rebels, but we're really just, you know, the one beautiful people of Northern Aggression. Back to you, Kevin, and to IRJ.
Yeah, I think Barry is in South Carolina. I'm running too much reverb. Hold on, let me turn that down. Yeah, I think Barry's in South Carolina, Greer, South Carolina. Is that right, Barry?
That's exactly right, which is right between Greenville and Parkburg, South Carolina. I'm about 6 to 8 miles from the BMW manufacturing plant.
Ah, that's far out. Well, if you have... Marty,
I'm back. I never heard anything that was said except for the first 10 seconds, and I wanted to say that South Carolina came up, and I experimented by switching to the vertical antenna, and to my surprise, the German shortwave station came in like crazy, whereas with the beverage, it definitely picked up the South Carolina station, and I could hear his words for the first time. Unfortunately, I cut him off when I did the antenna switching. It accidentally bumped the use RX1 out to RX1 in loop, and I couldn't hear any audio for about 15 seconds, and I kept feverishly trying to switch back and forth between antennas, so we'll have to do it again. It sounded like Cary, but I don't think that was the city. And I'll say that my uncle on my mother's side lives in South Carolina. He lives on the northern border, I guess, Landrum, South Carolina. That's also where the Wireman happens to be. And the other side of her family lives down there, too. So they're all nice people. Let me try to get you again. My name's Marty, by the way. M-A-R-T-Y, Marty. Down in South Carolina, and I don't remember your call, but back to you.
Hey, Marty, this is Barry. Bravo, Alpha, Romeo, Romeo, Yankee. And call is KK4RXN, Kilo, Kilo, 4, Romeo, X-Ray, November. And that's pretty interesting about Landrum. That's about... at most 15 miles from where I sit right here in my house, so that's really neat.
That really is. Boy, I see that the band is changeable, and also there is extreme static tonight. My static level is at an astounding S5. Whereas normally it would be down around a 2 with this beverage antenna, which is oriented westward, but it's not so sharply against you. It should pick you up a lot better. Well, it would be even better if it were pointed towards you, but I have to suppress a broadcast station up here. Up north, we get hit with a lot of European broadcast stations, and there happens to be one on this frequency. You might not even be hearing it at your location. I know 300 miles inland, I don't think they even hear it, but we certainly do. And north of us, we hear it. I think it's a 1 kilowatt station out of Germany, and I will give you a signal report, and don't be upset by this, but I always tell the truth. The static level is an S5, and you're able to make it up to an S6. Over.
Yeah, Barry, you're doing okay. You're way above the broadcast station, and most of the time, although not all the time, you're above the static crashes. WB4AIO for ID. Yeah, Marty is using a Flex radio also. He's using a Flex 5000. I'm using a... Wow, my power output is going crazy here. I think I've got a bad relay. Man, that's weird. Marty is using a Flex 5000A, and I'm using the antique SDR, the Flex SDR 1000. Man, my voice is going out. The rig that costs you $0, even a rig that you spent money for, is it just keeping it costs you $0. So it's always good to hold on to what you've got and resist the blandishments of the salesman. Although I have rebuilt my station after being off the air for many years, and I decided I wanted to go with software-defined radio, just something I wanted to experiment with, particularly from the standpoint of audio quality. And so that's what I did, but I got an old SDR and only paid about $600 for it, so it really was not a huge investment. So anyway, Marty, what's my signal level on your beverage antenna?
And to our Jerry Turning, I'll have to look at it a little bit more. And let me clear the frog from my throat. I wanted to say to Barry, well, your signal is roughly an S5 to an S8.5. So I might have given you an over-favorably report before, or maybe the QSB has reached you like Barry and you're on a downtrend, but it's still perfectly copyable. And Barry went on a downtrend with the QSB, and I want to tell him that I'm also operating a software-defined radio, and it's a different version than Kevin's, but it's no longer produced too, so I guess it's an antique. It's called a 5000A Flex radio, and it's my experimentation with the hi-fi, ESSB, extended single sideband, enhanced single sideband. And what I can do is, just for the heck of it, maybe I'll hear temporarily change my bandwidth and speak to you in a narrower form. You might not hear any difference, but you might think that you might see a stronger signal reading on me because I'm not spreading my signal so far and wide. Let me try that right now. Okay, now I'm talking to you on 3.5 kilohertz, which is closer to where your rig probably is, and this may be of benefit to you. And, oh, incidentally, I'm running an amplifier, which is an Ameritron 1300, and it's putting out about 700 watts of power. So normally I have a better working station, but I'm rebuilding my station from a different place in the room, in the house, I mean. And So Kevin's sedation is in chaos, and so is mine. Normally, I would be able to hit you with better power with my tube amplifier, but that's not available to be hooked up yet. So anyway, you could comment if I changed when I changed to a smaller bandwidth to be more attuned to your radio. Over. Well, I thank you for that, and I'm actually surprised, because I was really putting some energy out elsewhere and wasting power, and I'm back now to the wasting of power at the expense of fidelity, which, again, your rig won't really pick up, but Kevin's rig will be able to hear it. I switched down to 3.5, and now I'm back up to 7.5 kilohertz of bandwidth. Thanks, Barry. Let me turn it back to you, Kevin, N2IRJ.
Marty, what bandwidth are you listening in right now?
I'm listening in 7.5.
Oh, I guess I should try transmitting. Okay, now I'm transmitting in 7.5, WB4AI.
Okay, noise is S5, like I told Barry, and it still is, and you were giving me an S9. So let's see, that would be four times 6. 24 dB signal noise ratio. I can have a fine QSO with that. Over.
Oh, that's great. Your S meter is much more scotch than mine, because I'm getting S9 to 10 over static bursts, but your signal is about 20 to 25 over 9, so your signal to noise ratio is about the same.
Yeah, at that time you went up to about a 3 over S9, the highest yet. You maybe someday we'll look into trying to calibrate this, even though it was back to the factory and supposedly they calibrated it. It maybe really is scotch. Of course, maybe you have to take into consideration that it's on a beverage, and that's why I'm reporting in signal to noise ratio rather than, you know, the straight out reading, but, you know, as being the say all and do all. Over.
Yeah, I'm sure the beverage makes a huge difference in the numbers. Hey, Barry, what are the comparative signal strengths between Marty and myself? Go ahead.
Well, truthfully, you're both equally strong and equally clear. I would say you both have between, I'd say 5.7 to 5.8.
Okay, I guess we're roughly equivalent then. Thank you very much. It sounds like either something is wrong with the compressor or it's not adjusted right, because your signal level went significantly downward when you turned on your compressor. Your signal got weaker. It also got very, very tinny, but the tinniness really didn't help anything, because it simultaneously got weaker.
Okay, I appreciate that report. I never ever turn it on, because I've heard and read as well that they need to turn the compressor on.
Yes, at this point it's much, much more effective with it turned on.
Yes, same here under these band conditions. In fact, I heard every word two transmissions ago from you, Barry.
That's great. I just didn't report on that. Tell you what, guys.
Okay, Barry, 73. I think you have the last letter of my call wrong. It's O as in Oscar. So, 73, nice to meet you. And if you're around tomorrow night around 10 p.m. Eastern, there's a big net that Marty and I are involved with called the Liberty Net. It's a current events discussion net. And it's usually on this frequency, although not always. The net is frequency agile to avoid causing interference. But anyway, somewhere near this frequency, between 3950 and here. So 73 to you, KK4RXNWB4AIO, clear with your radio. Good night.
Good night, fellas.
I heard you very clearly on the good night, fellas. Bye, Barry. N2IRJ, Marty.
See you, Marty. Have a great night.
You too. Back to you, Kevin.
Uh-huh. Very good. Are there any traces of RF still on my signal?
Not that I can detect. Let me do something wild and crazy, which you won't be able to appreciate, because I don't think you have a selection on your reception to go above 7.5. But I'm just going to, once in my life, do something crazy and give you the 20K. Here's 20K of bandwidth, and I'll switch back to my 7.5, and then I'll make a recording of you and play it back to you. Over.
Okay, well, I'm only transmitting in 7.5, and I can listen in 10, but I'm only transmitting in 7.5. When I open the receiver up to 10, I hear the carrier, I hear the 10 kilohertz heterodyne from that other German station on 3985.
Okay, this is N2IRJ back live. I copied the second transmission as well. And yeah, since my limitation is 7.5 as set up right now, I never could go that far to get into that carrier. But what I think is really surprising is the radio station. With the vertical, I really pick it up significantly, and on the beverage, it's not even there. It's completely gone.
I guess that proves the beverage is working. I can detect the station on 95 right here, but I can sort of, every now and then it fades up to the point where I can hear some music or I can hear somebody talking, but it's not strong enough to understand anything.
Okay, well, the beverage is working then. And it was nice, too, that Barry broke in on us. And even though we're kind of uncoordinated right now, and you know, both of us in the two radios not being completely fixed, especially yours, and our signals were the same to him. So we're running similar power. So that sounds good. For your balun to be heating up like that, sounds like I might have some inefficiency here because you're losing your power if it's really heating up like that. And maybe we could discuss it on a phone call. Over.
Oh, it's. I don't think it's heating up right now because I switched back to the voltage balun. I switched back to the 4-to-1 voltage balun that came with the tuner. And as far as I know, that one is not heating up. But my beautiful and rather expensive current balun that I was so proud of that solved my RFI problems on the higher bands, it heats up like crazy on 75 meters when I run a kilowatt. Now, when I run 100 watts, I can't detect any heating. But if I run a kilowatt, not only can I feel a lot of heat, a disturbing amount of heat on the case of the Ballon that's mounted in, but it changes impedance as it heats up, very obviously. And so that's clearly a sign that something is wrong.
Okay, into IRJ returning, and let me give you a sample there. Your signal was down. You were down to about an S7.5, but oddly, the it sounds like your natural reverberation is there now, detectable, and it's not like it was down band. And I was wondering if you could tell me then what you did to fix it, if you had fixed it. Maybe it has returned, but it was not distracting or bad in any way. I'll give you a sample. Here's what it was.
Both my RFI problems on the higher bands, it heats up like crazy at 75 meters when I run a kilowatt. Now when I run 100 watts, I can't detect any heating, but if I run a kilowatt, not only can I feel a lot of heat, a disturbing amount of heat on the case of the Ballon that's mounted in, but it changes impedance as it heats up, very obviously. So that's clearly a sign that something is wrong.
This is N2 IRJ Live. Over.
Thank you, Marty. I am running a little bit of Behringer reverberation. I don't hear the RF getting into the audio on this frequency, but that's merely my good fortune that it seems that there's less RF in the shack on this end of the band than on the low end of the band. Oh.
Yes, so you can tell too that it's being tastefully done and it sounds natural on the reverb. I could repay the favor by increasing my control a little bit. Well, let me turn it off altogether and see if there's a difference. Here it's totally potted off, and it was only potted up very lightly, so I think it might not have even been detectable. But I'll bring it up slowly, and you can tell me if you can detect it, and if it's at a excessive level. In fact, I think it is already because I'm hearing myself through the headphones. But go ahead, give me comment.
I can't hear it at all right now, Mark.
You can't hear any reverb? I can surely hear it in my headphones big time. Let me crank it up like crazy. There, it's echoing like crazy in my headphones. Over.
Yeah, I'm starting to hear it now.
Okay, let me put it down a little bit to where I can detect it, but it's not, I guess it won't be detectable by you. I think once I get my tube amplifier working and I have the enough power, I'll be able to establish a good enough signal-to-noise ratio that you'll be able to have it, because I now am running a heck of a lot more reverb than what I was when I started the QSO with you. Over.
Yeah, the way you normally run it, I cannot even tell it's there. Now, perhaps it's sweetening your sound in an almost indetectable way. That's possible, but it's not detectable as reverberation. I imagine mine is loud enough where it is. I can hear it in my own headphones. I'm going to go get a drink. I'll be back in a few minutes, but my throat is so parched. WB4AI.
Yeah, I'm glad we're making this test. It was totally out of the blue for me. Yeah, you can get the drink. And I'll stand by. I don't know. It's probably not hearable out there. You don't have an FM speaker. I'll stand by N2IRJ with a frog in the throat from Jackson, New Jersey, rudely awakened by a good friend. And that's because it was a success in the middle of the night when he finally got his rig working. So not all the bugs are out yet of either of our stations, but we're making it there little by little. and we'll succeed in by talking a lot back and forth and hearing the bugs. Over.
WV4AI.
And into IRJ. I was really surprised to find out from Barry that there was hardly any power change when I converted to 3.5. That means there's only a tiny, tiny bit of energy in my upper sibilance. So that's not going to be harmful to people. Of course, the band was clear anyway. We checked, and there was a big enough swath. Everything was okay. When you heard me with the reverb, did it enhance anything, or sweeten it, or did it just there, or what? I'm debating about its usage at all. For a while, I've had it so low that you're telling me you never even heard it. And I never heard it on any of the LibertyNet recordings. I suppose this time I'll be hearing it. I started the recorder a little while ago. It was started late. But with that, I'll pass it back to you.
I didn't really hear it long enough, Marty, for me to make any kind of intelligent comment on it. I did notice that it was just starting to be audible. You said you were hearing it like crazy, but I was just barely noticing it, so don't know what's happening with that, but maybe the band noise is a significant factor in whether I perceive it as being noticeable or not. I will say, though, that when you switched bandwidths, when you went from 6 or 7 down to 3.5, that was a dramatic change for the worse in your sound. But I mean, you still sound fine, but there may not be more than half your energy in the upper octave, but it really makes a difference in my perception of your voice and the pleasant quality of the sound of your station. Just all the difference in the world. WB4AI.
Okay, that's helpful, and it's good that we're talking longer like this, and the QSB is giving us a test of real life, because this time you went up to almost a 10 over, and when you are not talking, I'm able to hear your fan for the first time. I've never been able to hear that before. That should be snagged on the recording. Over.
Ah, very good. You're probably also hearing some intermodulation distortion because I have not yet made the modification to the bias circuit in the amplifier, so that thing is still creating some intermod.
Yeah, if I had the scope program going, and maybe you can teach me how to do that sometime, or did we determine that we can't use it? I forget what we determined. I know that with the DRM on, we couldn't. I think that was one of the conditions. I forgot now. I'm hearing the reverb in my headphone right now, and I think it has to do with the balance settings. If I turned the lights on, which I could gladly do, I could adjust the reverb so it doesn't sound so loud to me. Although maybe it's a good thing that it alerts me first so I don't overdo it to anybody. Speaking of overdoing it, what the heck, let me throw a light on so I can see where my dB setting is now, because I think it's a healthy place to be, and I'm going to take it all the way up. Well, not all the way, but further up, and then you can give me an evaluation of that. Over.
Okay, I'm standing by. And listening to HCJB in the background.
This is N2IRJ, back looking at the power meter peak, and according to this, if I can believe it, by driving it this hard and making the amps go up to 15 instead of 5, well, we know about the last few watts, what it costs, but I'm running the audio hard. I'm getting the most out of this it'll do, this solid-state amplifier. And I also have worst case scenario modulation. I'm running the Dereau the way you'd like me to run it. This is the first time I've ever done so. Normally I'm less than this. I'm doing exactly what we talked about on the phone a few days ago. I mean, I'm definitely filling up the average power to say like a negative 4 or negative 2, just on rare occasion bumping up and touching the red zone for a brief moment. The peak readings are running in the center of the zone in yellow, and again on an extreme rare peak I'll get a red flicker. So I always felt that was too hard to run, and I thought it probably brought up too much of my background noise from the amplifier's fan. But you can comment on both in a while. Reverb-wise, my setting right now is minus 17.5. Minus 17.5 dB. Here's minus 15, minus 12.5, here's 10. And now I'm starting to go down one more notch, but it's not marked. I guess that's about the same amount. It's probably linear. It's in the sevens, I guess. I'll now enter the range of where the reverb claims that it would be operating over the air. Here's S is zero. Also, I don't know if my version of reverberation is the same as yours. I want to get the type that does accentuate and sweeten things rather than take away things, you know, and become distracting and annoying and kind of cheap sounding. I'm also looking at the level on the Behringer, and with the kind of positions I'm running at now, you know, modulation-wise and everything, for the first time I think I'm noticing something different. Let me turn this reverb back down again and see. Yeah, it's true. Okay. I'm seeing for the first time in my life that I'm putting out minus 6 dB of reverb to you. Normally, when I have it potted down, it doesn't show any reading. It just stays beyond negative 20. That's the lower limit of the digital scale in the special effects converter. So anyway, I on a few occasions here have now even hit a negative 3, which is yellow zone. I'm not into clipping though. I must be giving you a hell of a lot of reverb. Let me back it back down to where it was. What did I say? Minus 17 and a half, I think, or something like that. And you can tell me what you think. Maybe some setting in between the two extremes would be ideal. Over.
Yeah, when you had it up, all the way, it was
standby.
I think the transmit receive relay in this linear needs its contacts cleaned, because so sometimes I start transmitting and I'm only putting out about 200 watts, and then it gradually drifts up, and if I let go of the key like this and then put it back down again, then my power output comes back up to normal. So lots of problems to solve, Marty. When you had it up at minus 6, it was truly excessive. It sounded like I don't know. It sounded like sort of like the Great Gazoo coming down in his spaceship or something like that. But when you have it at minus 17, I can't even tell it's there. So for the subtle effect, maybe try a minus 10, maybe? I don't know. Something like that.
Okay. For whatever it's worth, it's called number 20 on the reverb control. And I'm not showing any activity on the level indicator for special effects. I'll try a negative 10. Here goes. I'm now at a negative 10, and I'm not lighting up any lights, but I suspect that you're able to hear me. I certainly can hear myself. I'm repositioning the headphone volume. It was too low. It was set for doing phone patch on LibertyNet, and we'll have to talk about how to get the settings adjusted so that I can have a normal QSO with you and hear you through the headphones. I was listening to you mainly through the Otter speakers, and I wanted to be able to hear you through both. And, you know, if the external speakers fail, I still want to hear every word from the headphones. In fact, maybe at some point I want to turn the external speakers off and hear you headphones only. And when I tried doing that, I lost you entirely. So we still need to get the settings right on my station, too. But we're getting them kind of close. That time I hit a minus 20 on reverb. So maybe you are hearing some effect. Over.
It's almost undetectable, but I think I'm convincing myself that I'm hearing it, yes.
Okay, well, my theory was when the Henry's online and I have a powerful signal, it's going to get very obvious. And probably on the local recording, if I were streaming this, it would be very obvious, unless it has to do with the balance. For example, above the reverb slider, there's a control which says FX to main, and it's turned to approximately the 1 o'clock position. Maybe if I decreased that, it would put less reverb in my ear, and I could balance up the audio better. Over.
I'd have to look at my photograph of your mixer to figure out what that does. I'd be hesitant to just play with it. I think what you've got now is there is some in there, but it's extremely subtle. It's probably pretty close to what you want right now, unless it's too obvious on the recording. That I can't judge from the standpoint of listening to you over the air, WB4AIO.
Okay. Is the recording telling the truth? Is it really telling what's going on over the air, and it's just the distance between us and the bad band conditions that are petering out the reverb? Over.
Well, I would say conditions are pretty good, but it's just noise, you know. The recording is a very true representation of the audio that's being fed to the transmitter. It's a perfectly good representation of that. However, there's no static, and there's no band noise, and there's no interference on the recording, so the subtleties are more easily heard. Right now, even though your signal is very good, there is static, there is band noise, and I don't think there's any interference except for maybe just a trace from far, far away. But nevertheless, that's enough to blend with subtle things like the reverberation. Over.
That was an informative explanation. If the recording turns out to have the same amount that's in my headphones, I think people are going to ask questions and find it as being objectionable. Just so you know, the noise level on the band went from 5 to about 5.5 this last time, but your signal went up to a true S9 on peaks and sustained. So 4 times, it's the same number we keep coming up with, 4 times. Times 6, 24 dB, roughly. Yeah, that's considered good to be good on my station here. Like I said, Vic, if you took his all-time high and compared it to the all-time low band noise for a split second in time, there might have been an instantaneous 40 dB signal-to-noise ratio. But mostly, the best he can achieve is about a 30 dB. Over.
Well, if I'm only 6 dB behind Vic, I can't complain about that. Yay, yay, yay. I guess I'm putting out about 1,000 watts on occasional voice peaks. And it's over 500 watts all the time, as long as I'm talking. When I stop talking, of course, it goes below. So the amplifier is amplifying. I think there's a problem with the relay, and I can deal with that. I also think the loading caps need to be replaced, as in the modification guide that I have seen on the internet to get a little bit more power output. And, of course, that bias modification needs to be made. So, so much to do. And it's 1:30. Probably I should sign out pretty soon, Marty. It's great that I hooked up with you. And it's kind of neat that I have made some progress. But with progress came some additional problems. And so, I don't know. It's not the total triumph I thought it would be.
Okay, I hesitated, I dragged my feet, and I have some more information to report. In that last transmission, you peaked at a 5 over S9, and the noise level in between your words was about a 5.5, and I hesitated on the comeback to let AGC recover and everything else in case that has any effect on the metering, and it finally settled down to the S5 again. So I can honestly say that half of an S unit of fan noise is coming over the air on you. Over.
Okay, I guess that's not good. Let me stop talking, but I'll hold the push to talk key down. Yeah, when I don't talk, I have a background noise on my compander meter of about minus 24 dB. So, and let me see what it is on my power meter. Stand by. Just let me transmit without speaking. Yes, I guess I am transmitting about 5 watts of transformer hum and computer fan noise. Over.
I'm glad you made that test. It turns out that I can now tell that you do indeed have in line a compressor with a long time constant. When you stayed key down long enough, it went from an S5 to an S6. And the regular noise floor here is S5 tonight. So, You actually doubled, even though it showed only 5 watts output of fan noise, it doubled the S meter reading on me from, namely, an S5.5 to an S6. You know, whereas normally when you're talking, it's an S5.5, and there's not enough time for the AGC to change and ramp up the background fan noise. Over.
Well, that's pretty funny. I guess the propagation is reasonably good where my 5 watts of background noise is actually audible. So that's a mixed blessing, of course, but it's a lot better than trying to talk to you with 75 watts.
Yeah, well, I'm returning the same. As you know, I've never run the Duro this hard in my life. And I'm not hitting any reds now. I've put it up more above my nose, the headset. And I should try this experiment with the other microphone, the Samson. And if you think band conditions are well enough to tell the difference. As for the hum, I have never been able to detect it. Perhaps on the recordings. I sometimes hear things on the recordings that I can't hear in real time. Why, I don't know. The heat of the moment, the stress. I don't know. I don't know what the reason. And it happens both by way of headphones or external speakers. So it might be something psychological, or it's like a second chance at picking something up that I missed the first. But there's no audible hum. However, if I pulled up that program that you gave me, Maybe I could analyze your signal and tell. Over.
Yeah, the scope program with the built-in spectrum analyzer will work off the line input. In other words, you can analyze signals in real time with any signal. The audio signal that's coming out of the Flex will be analyzable with that scope program. So that works. What doesn't work is analyzing something you're playing, like a recording, on the computer, or that Dream DRM decoding program that's playing on that computer. For some reason, I can't get that thing to accept stereo mix as a source. It only accepts line input as a source. And so it can analyze whatever is on the line input, but it cannot analyze something that's playing on the computer itself. It's maddening. I don't know why that is. I have stereo mix enabled in the mixer, and it's there, and it works, but I simply cannot get that scope program to analyze it, and it works perfectly on mine. It may be there's some sort of hardware difference between my computer and yours, and that scope program doesn't work well with your motherboard or something. But anyway, you could analyze any incoming signal on the Flex with it. WB4AIO.
I know this is pricey talk, but if we need another motherboard, we could even do that. Right now, I have the scope program on, and it's on the first tab, oscilloscope. What do I need to set it at to analyze whether I can pick up your hum? I guess maybe the way you do it when we eventually try is to not talk and just key down and let it ramp up the noise, or maybe mute the microphone and just key up. I'm not sure what to say. Back to you.
Well, this hum is transformer hum, and it's being picked up by the microphone, so the mic would have to be on. That's the hum that's in this room. The Clipperton has a slight, it's more of a buzz than a hum, though. It's really not a low-frequency phenomenon. It's a mid-frequency phenomenon. The program that you would use, or the tab that you would use in that scope program, is the frequency tab, and that gives you a spectrum analyzer. But to get any kind of meaningful results, you need to change a bunch of settings. You need to change the frequency to a logarithmic frequency readout. You need to change the vertical scale to a decibel readout. And then you need to change the, turn off the auto scaling and set the scaling to something rational, like a 0 dB for the top end and minus 45 for the bottom end. And then you have to double all the readings because the guy who wrote the program did not calibrate the decibel scale correctly. But if you have to mentally double everything. N2IRJ, WB4AIO.
Well, when I first turned it on, nothing was checked above except auto scale, and it was showing me just how much energy you have in the lower regions. Holy heck, a lot. And then I guess it's probably on linear. I don't see where the word linear or exponential or whatever function is you can tell me that next go around. I'll say that when I'm transmitting, it's sampling at a rate to give me, I guess the instantaneous frequency at that moment in time. I'm seeing things down like around 168 hertz, and other times 5,700 hertz. So I'm definitely getting my money's worth out of having the ESSB bandwidth. It's effective. It's truly existing. Total harmonic distortion, though, I'm getting is anywhere from a few percent up to 57%, 62%, 7.27. I'm just giving you the instantaneous readouts. There is a 96% there, so I don't know if that's cause for concern or not. Over.
No, that distortion figure only refers to pure sine wave tones. If you're not running a pure sine wave into it, that distortion figure means nothing. It's meaningless.
Very good. Okay, try me again on getting it set up, even though I have to double the readings on the y-axis. You're talking about the boxes that say log, dB, auto scale, peak hold, over?
On the top scale, uncheck auto scale and check decibels. On the, that's on along the top edge of the graph. Excuse me, I'm getting tired. I'm not saying things in an optimal manner. I need to go to bed. On the bottom edge of the graph, check the log box. And then take your cursor and put your cursor in the top of the y-axis and change the top reading to 0. And then do the same in the bottom reading in the y-axis with your cursor and change the bottom reading to minus 45. And then you'll have, if you set it up that way, you will have a very useful spectrum analyzer, WB4AI.
Okay, I need a repetition of the last two steps. I was experimenting, looking for the button to push to change it to log, I think, maybe you said. I've discovered that it's the zoom function, I think, that will give me the number change on the y-axis. Over?
No, you don't want to use the zoom function. That's not what you use, no. You check the log checkbox in the lower right near where the 20,000 hertz reading is. You check the dB button in the upper left corner of the graph. You uncheck the auto scale button. Got that so far?
Well, I got the auto scale checked and the dB checked. As for log in the... Okay, I see it. It's hiding down there. There are two logs. In the top left call series, there's log as the very first choice. And the other one, I didn't see it first. I was going to insist to you that it didn't exist, but it really does exist. God, I wish I had my glasses. Okay, I'll check it right now. So I'm at least that close to being correct now. I guess I need the next step.
Okay, did you uncheck auto scale?
I thought I did, but apparently not. I thought you said maybe to check it. For some reason, it was checked. I have unchecked auto scale. The only thing that's checked on the top is dB. That's the only thing.
Okay. It is kind of a pain. You have to do this every time to get meaningful readings out of this thing, but that's what I do every time I start the program. Now click your cursor into the very top reading on the y-axis. And use your delete or backspace keys to delete the reading that's there, and then just type in the numeral 0 and hit return. That will change the full scale to 0 dB. So when that's 0, that is set, and then I'll have you do one other thing after you do that.
Okay, I've highlighted dB on the y-axis. It's at negative 20. And I hit the delete button, and nothing happens. Over?
Now, you don't highlight dB. You whatever the top number is, you select that, highlight that, and replace it with a 0.
Okay, I did replace it. I did highlight the number. I wasn't explicit. What I didn't do is substitute a 0. Let me do that. Well, I'm hitting 0, and it's not changing from a negative 20 to a 0 either. Over.
Well, when you highlight it, it should change to white. And then you hit the delete key so that there's no number there, just a white square. Then you type a 0, then you hit return. And that should work.
Okay, you're right about the turning white. I accomplished that long ago. And silly me, maybe I'll blame it on tiredness too. I I forgot that I have to click first there in the box to get the cursor there. Now let me hit delete, and it truly deleted. Now I'm going to enter the zero, and it's there. It's highlighted in a white box. Maybe if I click outside, it will rescale everything. Right now, it goes down to negative 70 dB, and the very bottom is negative 75 dB, but there's a line through it, meaning maybe it's not really true. Here goes. I'm going to check. Yes, it did recalibrate the scale. And it actually does go down to negative 75 dB now without any contradiction to that on the x-axis. And yes, I'm now seeing, I think, what I was asking for. Over.
Now do the same thing with the minus 75. Do the same thing with the bottom number. And replace the bottom number with minus 45. Replace the bottom number with minus 45. And then you're all set.
Okay, it is done.
Okay, now where it says minus 45, that's really minus 90. Where it says minus 40, that's really minus 80. Where it says minus 10, that's really minus 20. The guy who wrote this program is one of those people who thinks there's such a thing as a voltage decibel, but there isn't. And he calibrated everything wrong. But if you just double all the numbers and mentally compensate, it's a marvelous program.
Do we have this problem elsewhere? I'm just curious if I expand my knowledge in the future, do I have to worry about trusting anything by a factor of two? Over.
No, this is the only, well, I mean, maybe there are other programs that, or other pieces of equipment where people have had the delusion that there's such a thing as a voltage decibel. I have seen it in the literature before where people have this crazy idea. I don't really know where it comes from. But this is the only piece of equipment I have, or that I've seen that you have, or the only program I've seen also that that has that anomaly. WB4AIO for ID.
Okay, you're saying that I should double the readings on the dB scale?
Yeah. In other words, minus 10 dB below zero is really minus 20. Minus 20 is really minus 40. Just double them all. So you're actually reading out with the bottom of the scale is minus 90.
Okay, the peaks exceed negative 50 ever so slightly. Or excuse me, not negative 50, negative a little bit less than that. It's a hot little bit. For all practical purposes, on this scope, it says the average is negative 25. So that means it's really negative 50. And on the pan adapter off to the edge, where I'm not modulating and it's showing just normal band noise, it's showing an identical negative 50. The only thing is I'm transmitting, and I don't know if that might have artificially affected it. I should probably unkey momentarily and take a look at the band and determine, because I'm on the peak accumulate function, so it's showing worst case scenario. Let me try that.
Well, when you're transmitting, this thing is not reading your transmitter. This thing is reading the output of the CRL, just like it's reading out the exactly the same information that you're recording onto Audacity.
Okay, it starts off with a noise level of maybe instantaneously a negative 110, but after the first few static crashes, it's up to a minus 90. So that's about where we are right now. What I'm transmitting right now on the van's edges, the outside of my passband. It's down to approximately a negative 80. And can you repeat to me the significance of that? Can you tell anything about my audio settings being proper or improper based upon what I just told you? Over.
No, not really. I'd have to see it. It's not something you did. Describing it really doesn't cut it, but I'd have to see it. But I'm looking at you on my spectrum analyzer right now, and you look just ducky. WB4 Aeschylus Icarus Oedipus.
Well, the answer then is to run the Duro where you say, and it's not conservative like I like. Probably if I go to CPDR and hesitate in my talking, I'll have a reading. Let me check that. Let me do it. Oh, yeah. And you should have heard the same effect in return that I heard on you. It was a negative 20, and after I let the AGC recover, it went up to a negative 10. With the amplifier off, I can settle the needle down to negative 30, and that's if I have my modulation turned down. And as you know, my modulation is turned up this time to satisfy the requirements that you set for engineering correctness. And I thought that a negative 10 on CPDR would make fan noise audible. It's just that I have to speak quickly enough now to not let enough time recover so that it brings it up. But you can tell me if it ramped up more than 5 watts. I didn't look at my output to see. I could do that next time. Over.
Oh, yeah, it ramped up to where your fan noise was 5 over 9. But as long as you're talking, it's not objectionable at all. And even when you let it ramp up, it's kind of nice in a way. It just sort of lets people know that you still have the push to talk engaged and they better not interrupt you. Over.
Yeah, that's an idea. I can also play WCRO. It's the effect I wanted at the end of a record, remember?
Yeah, so play a record.
Yeah, I'll play a record, and during the fade-out, it will compensate just like that at about the identical rate. That's about how WCRO had their set, and I could always catch the last, 7 seconds or 6 seconds of a song.
Very important on Beatles records, because you hear the secret messages they've encoded in the fade-out.
See, these tests are good. I was waiting for this day. I didn't know it would come at 1:49 a.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time on Saturday, September 21st, 2013, in Jackson, New Jersey, United States. Now I've audio stamped it. It's the sound of you is like it used to be. You've somehow managed, despite stolen gear and everything else, as far as I can tell, and I'll have to think about it longer, you sound very much like when I used to hear you. Was it 20 years ago, maybe? in the Wisconsin, Minnesota region. Are you using the same chain, or is it a one that's it's similar? I don't think you had the Aphex back then.
Oh, no, Marty. All of that gear was stolen from me by my ex-wife in collusion with the FBI and the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Not only did they falsely charge me with crimes, but they stole every single thing that I possessed, the bastards. And I've tried to achieve a similar sound, but not a single piece of gear is the same anymore. I had an Electrovoice 664 microphone then. Now I have a Marshall V900. I had a PV 1200 series mixer. Now I have a Behringer mixer, a Zenix, Behringer Zenix mixer. And they both had effects. The PV had a spring reverb. This one has a digital plate reverb emulator. I had a Pacific Recorders and Engineering multi-band compressor feeding into an RCA BA-146 FET peak limiter for processing. Now I have the Rolls equalizer feeding into the Aphex Dominator multi-band peak limiter. And of course, back then I had the TS-440S as my exciter into an Alpha 77 linear. Now I have the SDR-1000. Feeding into a somewhat problematic Clipper Tinel amplifier with 4572Bs in it, giving me that round, warm triode sound of vacuum tubes. So everything is different, and yet I remain the same. WB4AIO.
Yes, very much so in the positive ways, and even a little bit better in others. Let me go to the scope function to back to where we were going to analyze things. I'm looking at the bottom trying to find the word scope. Okay, here it is. The rightmost one is scope. You used to have more of a, I would say, slightly more bass, but a dirtier type, like back the way in the 70s, some of the stations had their control set. And now you have the same sound. It seems like the ratios, I mean, I'm not suggesting you up your bass anymore. I think you have it just right. But maybe it's the Aphex. It really is making it clean. It's very clear, and that's the difference that I hear. It seems like you were able to remember and recreate what you had before. It's just that you have seemingly better equipment now. Maybe they did you a favor, but I know how damning of a situation that is. Mine is very minor compared to yours, but when my father died, the police came to the house and they flushed all the drugs down the toilet, medications for the elderly man, and they took his guns. And I tried getting them back and they wouldn't give them to me, so I got the estate. The bank was the executor of the will, I guess you could say, or whatever the, I don't know what the legal terminology is, but technically they had the power to take them to court and give the gun back, but they didn't want to do that. They tried phone calls, and the police said that they'd have to get a court order from a judge saying that it was okay, because they didn't want to be held responsible if anything happened to any of the guns afterwards. And I pointed out to the bank, and I suspect he relayed the information about my background and training and expertise and everything else, and hell, the damn cops knew me when I used to live there, and I used to carry it out on my belt during duty, and none of the cops would blink an eye. You know, we'd see each other up at Valley Dairy, and they had theirs and I had mine, and you know, getting selected for the state police, none of that mattered. The bastards just have a policy where they confiscate, and they claim they hold for evidence. But I've heard in many cases they just vanish and are used as a throwaway gun in another crime scene, or melted down to meet some federal quota where they get dollars back for how many guns they get melted down into IRJ.
Yeah, well, I call that just plain old theft. That is theft. They stole your property and laughed in your face when you tried to do anything about it. That, man. Well, anyway, you are sounding really good, Marty. You have an excellent signal in the ESSB mode. You have a good signal in the standard SSB mode also. But it's really nice when the band is clear and we can run a little bit more bandwidth.
That's right. I didn't give you what you were used to when I went to the narrow bandwidth. You're used to hearing me in 4 at least, and I only gave you a 3.5 because I was really trying to sock the energy to him. I realized the 3 would be better, but I chose 3.5 because I felt that I would get too muddy. Let me make that change just momentarily, not to torture you, but here is 4 kilohertz of audio bandwidth, and that's what you're used to hearing me in. And now I'll go back to the 3.5. This is how I was talking to the gentleman in South Carolina, and now I'll even take it one less. I'm down to 3.0. So with that, I'll now resume high fidelity ESSB, and I could try doing this one. You say you open, yours can open up to 10. There, instead of giving you 7.5 like I was, I'm now giving you 10 kilohertz audio bandwidth. Over.
It's set at 7.5.
You know what? I think that phenomenon happened where I think I doubled it with you in the end, but it was only for like 1 second or 1.5 seconds, and it was probably just the end of, well, wait a minute. Would have been the end of my transmission. It was your voice I heard.
I don't know if you think you're transmitting, but you're not.
Okay, I know I'm not transmitting, but when I unkeyed the other time, you were talking. So I'm asking, did we double, or was it the latency factor in my computer maybe, or your computer, or both of ours? I got that effect that we've heard about could possibly happen, where there's the last few words repeated back. Without the recorder being on, it was just there. Over. It is as though we had doubled, but it seems like you heard everything I said. Over.
Let me guess, you're transmitting in a transmit profile that has the power set to 0.
My God, you're a mind reader. That's exactly what's going on, and it has now been discontinued. It turns out we did double, and I never heard anything you said except the last 2 words. And that's because I wasn't transmitting. So you took the opportunity to transmit instead, and you told me something, and I don't know what that was, and you probably can't remember.
Yeah, you must have the, this must be an artifact of save changes checkbox in the transmit profile section in the setup menu being set wrong, because I think you had it set to remember every change, and then when you set the power to 0 on certain profiles, the power is still 0 on those profiles. In fact, I think you should check the 4 kilohertz transmit profile, the SSB 4K transmit profile, because it sounded to me like your power went down when you went to that profile, even though you were still transmitting WB4AIO.
Okay, this time I'll be more attentive to the drive level. I'm transmitting on 10 kilocycles bandwidth, and I'm going to drop it down to 7.5, which will be hard for you to tell a difference. I'm still running the same power this time. I was more attentive to my controls. The sliding scale didn't go down to zero. Now I will go back to my 4, where I think you said I sounded weaker, but the drive power is still at maximum, although maybe before it wasn't. And I'll go to the 3.5. This is 3.5, like when I was talking to the South Carolina man. And now I'm going even 500 hertz tighter. I'm at 3.0, and I'm maintaining full power output at all of these conditions, finally, whereas I did not before when I was... guess what? I am totally out of it. Speaking of sleep deprivation, I'm changing the receive bandwidth. Let me redo this whole test. Okay, I'm at 10 kilocycles bandwidth. Now I'm at 7.5. This is 7.5, and the power is remaining at drive at 100. I'm now going to go down to 6, which is the Canadian legal maximum, and the power is set to 90 there. I'll put it back up to 100. So you can make a more fair comparison, even though we're splitting hairs. I doubt if that's even detectable. But just to keep things the same, let me go down to the 4, which you're used to hearing me in. This is 4, and you're right. 4 was set to a drive level of 4. You are absolutely right. My power was down big time. Now it's up to 100%, and it will probably remember that based upon whatever we checked. And I'll finalize by going to 3.5. which is at 71, yes, that's off. I'll put it up to 100. This is where I was talking to the man, and he said there was barely any difference. This partially explains it, although not all that much, I don't think. You know, a few hundred watts maybe. Lastly, I'll go to something I've not done before, the 3.0. And it's at 100. This is 3.0. This is as bad as it gets. And now I'll do one final test again. A change between 7.5, which I'm at right now, 7.5, and it retained the full power setting. And then I want to go to 10 and find out if you can hear any difference with the 10. You might have competition with that broadcast station carrier, though I'm not sure. Back to you from N2IRJ. I'm back to you on 10, and it reverted back to 0, so you never heard me. And I think you heard me on 7.5, though, probably. Let me redo that part of it and see if it changes or not. Okay, this is 7.5, and I'm putting out full power. And now I'm going to go to 10 and determine if it reverts back to 0. Here goes, SSB10. Yep, it did the same thing. It reverted to 0. I had to manually drag it back up to 100. Over.
Yeah, I think what you're going to have to do is recheck that thing that says auto save TX profile on change. Recheck that box, then go through every profile and set the drive to an appropriate level. And then after you do that, then uncheck the auto save TX profile on change box again. And then everything should stay at the appropriate drive level for you, Marty, WB4AIO.
I remember that originally I had things set for a factor of safety. If I had a brain fog moment, I would default to zero or a very low power that would tell me that something is wrong. The person on the other end would say, you sound weak. And then I'd check my drive and find out that it's down to four. And then I could put it up later. But in this case, I failed to notice that time. And again, it would revert back to zero on 10 kilocycles audio bandwidth. I brought up that chart, and I could do that, but maybe I'll do it another time. Like you said, it's late, you're tired, and we could even do it over the phone. And let me redo that last test. I've done it a few times, but I think it's going to be hard to hear a difference because, even though band conditions are all right, they're not excellent, and the extra couple thousand hertz might not be heard. I'm at 10 kilohertz now, and now I'm at 7.5. This is 7.5 kilohertz of audio bandwidth, and I'm now going to increase it back to the 10 kilohertz. Right now it's back to 10 kilohertz of audio bandwidth. Over. One second. It's now back to the 10 kilohertz of audio bandwidth. Sorry for the hesitation, darn it. That might have messed up your ability to discern. I was transmitting again and it was down to zero. Back to you from N2IRJ.
Yeah, I think we determined that a setting of about 70 or 80 gets full power output out of the Ameritron. And never clips. If you run it all the way up to 100, I think there is a little bit of clipping. Maybe not much, but I think there is a little bit. And probably what you should do is change the drive setting on every transmit profile to be whatever is an appropriate level, 80 or whatever it is. And then either resave them individually or temporarily check that autosave TX profile on change box, change them all to an appropriate level, and then after you've changed every profile to an appropriate drive level, then uncheck that box, and so it will always remember the appropriate drive level and will be at the appropriate drive level when you switch transmit profiles. I think that's the way to do it. WB4 Aeschylus Icarus Oedipus. And by the way, I can tell the difference between the various profiles, and three sounds ultra restricted. Not used to it. I'm spoiled now. Three and a half is a little bit better. Four is starting to sound human. Seven and a half is wonderful. Ten is just a little bit better than seven and a half, but there's not a lot of energy up there. So basically, I would say seven and a half is as close as you ever need to be to full fidelity. Over.
Okay. Are you listening in 10 or 7.5? I know you had to be in 10 to listen to me in 10, but did you listen to me in 10 when I was on 7.5?
Part of the time I did, yes.
Oh, then you did do a thorough test. I decreased my drive level, by the way, to 90 until I have my final solution enacted. I will have to run higher levels like this, but if it sounds cleaner with less drive, I'll run it there. I've decreased it by 10. I'm still on the take 10 KC setting. Is there any noticeable decrease in my audio power, my signal strength, or is there an improvement at all that you can detect in cleanliness? Heck, I could give you other examples. I could knock it down to 80 right there. Is 80. That's about as low as I'd like to go. It sure fixed the current problem. I'm now drawing only 5 amps, and it still looks like I'm putting out the same amount of power. Over.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit cleaner at 80, and the signal strength appears to me to be exactly the same.
Oh, Okay, here's something really wild. I knocked it down to 70, and it's now decreasing my power. The meters on each side of the transistor packs are only going up to a little bit above 5 amps. There are two of them combined, so it would be really 10 amps altogether. But that's a hell of a lot better than the 30 amps I was giving you before, which apparently wasn't buying me anything. So I think I should probably increase it from 70, where it is now, and I'll do so as I'm speaking, to 80. And I think that is probably around a sweet spot. Over.
Sounds real good, Marty. You're sounding nice.
Was it definitively determinable that there was overdriving going on there when it was up to 100 or not? The overdriving would have been in the Ameritron because the power was staying the same, but the amperage was going up like crazy.
Yes, I could detect the difference. It's a very, very subtle difference. Probably only a golden ear would hear it, but probably people on adjacent frequencies will thank you for having a little bit less intermodulation distortion. So I think there's definitely a benefit there.
I think 80 might be a good default for every band, although I could test every band and do a comparison to find the point where my power just starts to go down, and then adjust it to be there. And that way I'll be using the fewest amount of amperes to get the most power out, and there won't be any clipping in the solid state amp. I didn't know they allowed that. I thought that they were so fanatical in their fine tuning, since it seems to trip off on everything else so easily, like Vizwar, that if you started driving it too hard, they would, stop you from doing it. But as you know, they made that 10-meter modification where you could drive it too hard and burn out the finals. So mine has the modification already installed, so I can't put out that much power, even if I want to, if I want to drive it that hard. Over.
Well, when I was there, I do recall that if you ran the flex at absolute maximum output, that you could see clipping on the oscilloscope for in the Ameritron. It was not much clipping. It was a very small amount, but it was definitely clipping. Definitely causing distortion, so I'm sure it was shooting your distortion specs to all to hell. And I recall that a setting somewhere between 70 and 80 seemed to be just about perfect, but 80 is probably fine. And that sounds slightly cleaner, and it does not seem to have diminished the field strength on my S meter at all.
Beautiful, and it's saving me about 10 amps on each side. Well, right there, when I said the word side, it went up to 10 amps. You know how before it was routinely at 10 amps, and you multiply that by 2 for each set of finals, and that's 20 amps. I'm putting out roughly 10 amps now, instead of the 20, and that the power meter is still going up to the same location. I'm set at 81.
You're sounding really, really nice, Marty.
Well, this is a blessed event. You are too.
Well, I hope I'll sound a little better when I solve the bias modulation problem in this amplifier, but man, I am so ragged out. It might take me a few days to even think about it. I've got to figure out the RF situation. I can't have alligator clips making it semi-okay on the low end. Oh, so many things to do, and I'm so disappointed. I am so disappointed that my beautiful dual current balance system isn't going to work out. And I don't know why there's so much common mode current in that choke that it's causing it to heat up. You'd think a current ballon with a high impedance, a high common mode impedance like that would not heat up. But yet, On 75 meters anyway, it is heating up, and it's heating up to the point where I'm worried I'm going to damage it. So anyway, Marty, I probably should sign out. My brain is fried from working all day on this stuff. It's great to talk to you. It's great to be able to communicate without a lot of repeats and that sort of thing. It's nice to see the power meter kicking up to that 1.0, and it's nice to hear your high fidelity station. I have a lot of challenges yet, though, to get AIO Laboratories back up to its proper standards. But I can't do it tonight. I'm wrecked. N2IRJ, transmitting from the Salt Flats near the RCA Proving Grounds in central New Jersey. This is WB4AIO near Beaverdale, Pennsylvania, in the mountains of Western PA, saying, I'll see you later, Marty. I think I better crash.
See you later. And I wish I could offer you a chocolate milk. Maybe you have some of your own. And if not, you're so sleepy, you'll have a good nap anyway. See you tomorrow. N2IRJ clear. Bye-bye.
See you later, Marty. Good luck in the contest.
I know there's a station calling me, N2IRJ, but I cannot make you out. It's right at the noise level. Over. Name here is Marty. KB9DIS? KB1 India Sierra. IS on the end, India Sierra. Are you KB1 IS India Sierra?
I think it's KB1 VIS, Marty.
Hello, KB1 VIS. This is N2IRJ. I just changed reception antenna to a vertical omnidirectional to see if I could pick you up better that way. Over. Yes, I am, but ever so slightly. At least I copied every word. You see, I have a westward pointing beverage, and it was attenuating you. Over. Are you still there for a relay, Kevin, on that one? Was it KB9 VIS? I think it was 1. KB1. Over?
Yeah, that's KB1 VIS. It's similar to KB9 VIS that you've talked to many times, but no, this is a different guy. KB1 VIS. I'm not getting him very well here in Western Pennsylvania. But I did copy that much. He said you were coming in very well at his location. Over.
Well, thank you very much up there, KB1 VIS. And now you might understand my level of confusion. I participate on a net on this frequency. And heck, if you ever want to come up, join us. His call sign, he's out in the mid part of the country, Illinois. He's KB9 VIS. So how about that for being close? And under marginal conditions, I couldn't quite make it out. Well, thanks for telling me that I'm hearable up there as I am. And we're testing tonight for the first time with a new system. The two of us are, and we still have some bugs to sort out. But nonetheless, it seems like it's working. And I'm thinking that maybe you're running, you're not running with the advantage of having power. I have almost 1,000 watts going out. Normally I have a tube amplifier which can give me legal limit, but again, the station is in limbo. It was moved from another area of the house after Hurricane Sandy, and it's being rebuilt. Over. Okay, you are running 100 watts. Yeah. You know what? The noise level increased. It was an S5 for the last hour, and now it's up to an S7. Oh, that's right. I switched antennas. I forgot. And never mind. I'm receiving you on the same antenna I'm transmitting on, which is a ground-mounted vertical 60 feet long. It's kind of a homebrew telephone pole combination and light pole combination pieces all stuck together with some PVC, and it's been up for about 20 years, and it's kind of sagging, and it's a beautiful, it seemingly works well. And if you're hearing me well up there, I'm glad, because I usually have trouble making it up into one land. Over. Okay, I copied to Connecticut. Name here, by the way, is Marty. Marty, maybe I can get yours this time. You've probably said it, but I just couldn't hear it with the other antenna.
Okay, I'm really signing out now, Marty. Good luck talking to all the people who are going to flock to your excellent signal. But I'm going to go to sleep now. 73, glad I could help with the relay a little bit. WB4AIO, closing down.
With the vertical there, you were 15 over. Could you relay his name before you go?
I didn't write it down, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is Marty again, N2IRJ. I didn't copy your name, and the conditions didn't permit. And Kevin really has to go. Thanks, Kevin, for everything. And 73 for now. If you want, you can tell me your name again. It's not important. I could look it up in the database on the internet. Are you saying that your call sign is DIS, not Victor India Zero? It's D as in Delta. Over.
No. It's Victor. Kilo Bravo 1, Victor India Zero.
That time you came through with every syllable understandable. Good. Good. It's really neat to know you, a KV1 VIS, when we already have a KV9 VIS in our group, and maybe one day you two can meet up. I know years ago when I was more rambunctious, I had a plan to exchange QSL cards while it was still possible, while every version of my call sign existed. You know, I'm N2IRJ, November 2, India, Romeo, Juliet, but there was an N1IRJ, an N0IRJ, and all the way up to 9, they made it, and then over the years, people dropped it and changed it, and it's not possible for me to do that QSL thing like I wanted to do and have in my shack all the other IRJs with only the number, the call district being different, and work them all. But anyway, I guess I'll head off too under these conditions. But thanks for coming by and telling me. And, you know, you sounded, when you really talked into the mic there, you did burst through. Maybe it was coincidental with the band coming up, but maybe not. Maybe you really can get to me under these conditions with the power you're running. Over. QSL on the crude setup and the emergency communications. You made it through. The message would have gotten through had there been an actual emergency, which there was here last year around this time, Hurricane Sandy. It hit me right on and really ruined my life. And I'm not even quite rebuilt yet from the ham station. So it's nice to be on, even though I don't have my full power back yet and everything else. And I'm glad you came back to me. I guess I'll be signing off too, like Kevin. I got a surprise call tonight from him to test, because he was working feverishly to get his station going in western Pennsylvania, and finally did, but found some faults and flaws, and now he has to go back to the drawing board, but he's just too tired, has to go hit the hay first. So thanks for coming back, and join us anytime again. Over. Okay, there was a little bit of a fade down there. I changed bandwidths to try to pull you in even, and I couldn't. Just for the record, so you know what I'm running, it's a SDR5000A flex radio, and I never thought that I could get used to a buttonless radio, and I foresaw lots of problems with RF getting into my shack, and that was typically a problem before, so I didn't want to have the PC endure that and screw up my radio. But so far so good at this power level. I have to eventually get my tube amplifier online, and then I'll find out for sure, you know, and then fix the final bugs. But I couldn't copy that last transmission. Over. Once again, the band is not cooperating, and it's fine. It's kind of paradoxical. In theory, I should be hearing you better. I have a better signal-to-noise ratio at, say, 4 kilocycle bandwidth reception, but yet I'm hearing you better up at 7.5. It's almost like there are some high-frequency components to the signal, your signal, that are letting me understand the intelligence more, but still not quite enough. Over. Uh, I copied that you have a TS-840, I believe, over. Well, I wanted to clear on a clear note, but for now we'll have to clear on a unclear note. Why? Because someone in my neighborhood put on his plasma TV, and I'm getting a buzzy that's an S9, and it's stronger than your signal. Boy, what a curse. Someone must have been paid off to let those dirty things get FCC approved. They really should be forced to make their pollution elsewhere, eliminate it, or put it outside the amateur bands. But thanks for the QSO again, and I'll say 7-3 for now, and maybe if you'd like, come by this frequency again. We're not necessarily only here. It depends upon what frequency is available and what's not. It's usually Saturday nights, the Liberty Net, where we talk about recent events and technological improvement, you know, breakthroughs and a variety of subjects, you name it. Over. Yeah, I heard you say certainly and talk about that, and I heard just give your call sign, so I guess we're clearing. My pleasure. Take it easy. Have a good morning. Have a restful night. N2IRJ in Jackson, New Jersey, clearing frequency now. See you.